It is Easter. Hallelujah. It is Easter. Hallelujah. Tight, tiny buds emerge on thin branches. Hallelujah. Green shoots burst forth from the cold earth. Hallelujah. The young gods of Christianity and other faiths die and return, blessing people with love and hope. Alleluia! Joy overcomes sorrow. Alleluia! Hope drives away despair. Alleluia! Morning has broken. Alleluia!
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the wood. The rains new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where God's feet pass. The sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship's Easter morning services. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my great pleasure to serve this welcoming, alive congregation. I use the pronouns she and her. This morning, you are welcome to join us for coffee hour right after this service. The links are in your order of service, which came in your email this morning. And if you are joining us for the first time, please go to our website and you can connect with our administrator who can give you more information about how to engage with our community while we are not meeting in person. So I light this chalice with the words from Mary Oliver. Mystery, yes. Truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. How grass can be nourishing in the mouths of lambs. How rivers and stones are forever in allegiance with gravity, while we ourselves dream of rising. How two hands touch and the bonds will never be broken. How people come from delight or the scars of damage to the comfort of a poem. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have the answers. Let me keep company always with those who say, look and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads again. And let us rise wherever we are this morning and sing the hymn number 61, Lo, the Earth Awakens Again.
Thank you. Thank you, choristers. Good morning and happy Easter. These words from Joyce Kilmer. The air is like a butterfly with frail blue wings. The happy earth looks at the sky and sings. I say amen. Goodbye to winter. I want to share this reading with you from the Reverend Victoria Safford. The dead shall rise again. Have you seen the trees? Have you seen the maple buds, the magnolias swelling, poplars, the first lacy pale prey across the shoulder of the hills, the forsythia, or as one child I know calls it, the three scythia, the two scythia, and those three small flowering perfect crabapple trees in the park, strong little trees begging children to climb that and get lost for a while in their magical pink canopies. Did you smell the rain this week? The muddy, ready earth receiving it. Did you smell the musty, lusty, moldy pile of leaves all thawed now and underneath the moist, living earthworms wide awake? Is it safe, I wonder, to presume that we have all seen the dead resurrected? Can we presume, just quietly among us, this basic fact? Can we admit, however carefully at first, however foolish it may sound, that once or twice in our lives, or perhaps over and over and tumbling over, we have seen events miraculous? Choose the words you will, whatever words you need. If miracle cloys, try unexpected, surprising, unanticipated, lucky. That which has given us that second chance, the second wind, by the grace of God knows what. We don't know and never will where the least strength comes from in the spring. We can't know and never will entirely where our own strength comes from. But we have known despair and deep discouragement, some of us, and discord of mind and heart, or disasters in the body or the spirit or in both. We have known dead hope, dead courage, dead caring, dead will, dead faith, dead vision, dead power, deep winter. And we have felt, perhaps, when we least expected to feel anything at all, our own slow blood stir in the vein like maple sap, and something very small and tight will begin to well and open up, urgent, imperceptible at first, then undeniable. Love lives again that with the dead has been. Did the sun come up this morning? No thanks to us and all for us. And did the earth awake again, or did it not? We will testify to resurrection.
Story of Easter. During Holy Week, the week before Easter, many Christian churches hold a special service called Tenebrae, which is Latin for darkness. During this service, as the story of the last days of Jesus' life is read aloud, candles are gradually put out until the church is in total darkness. After a loud noise sounds, symbolizing the closing of Jesus' tomb, people leave in silence. 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, candlelight returns to the church. Tenebrae services remind us that Easter hope arises out of real pain, and that life's affirmations are often made in the context of difficulty and sorrow. Today, as we acknowledge the very real struggles we humans have, trying to live together in peace, we recognize the power of love and hope to change the world for the better, even as we understand that life is full of both joy and sorrow. The story of Jesus is one way we can remember this, and on Easter, it is important to take time to tell something of his life and ministry.
Easter is the time when Christians celebrate and remember the life of Jesus. Most of what we know about Jesus' life comes from four books in the Bible: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. While all four Gospels tell some of the same stories about Jesus, there is a lot we don't know about him. We know he was important to people and that his ministry changed the world. But so much of his life is shadowed in mystery, and there are things about him we will never know.
One idea found in most of the stories about Jesus is that he was a very loving and caring person. It is written that he helped people who were sick to become well and strong. Throughout the Gospels, the writers tell us that Jesus stood up for people who were left out or who were picked on. The Gospels say that Jesus made friends with those who were disliked by other people, and he taught his followers not only to love their friends and neighbors, but their enemies too.
Another thing people remember about Jesus is his courage. He spoke out against laws and people whom he did not think were fair and kind. He disobeyed some of the laws in his own religion and tried to change them. He made both friends and enemies by his teachings and actions. He taught it takes strength and courage to stand up for what you think is right.
People who were inspired by Jesus became his followers. Some were called disciples. But even among Jesus' followers, there was disagreement. When Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, one of his followers turned him over to his enemies. Jesus was arrested and sentenced to death by crucifixion, which was the cruel way of the ruling Romans to put criminals to death. After he died, Jesus' followers were confused, sad, and afraid, but they didn't know what to do. Let us take a moment in silence for the fear and hate which causes people to do cruel things, and the sad and painful things in life which can leave us feeling confused and frightened that we cannot help ourselves or the people we love. The story of Jesus does not end with his death, of course. Many Christians believe that on the third day after Jesus died, known now as Easter Sunday, a few women, including his mother and Mary Magdalene, went to his tomb. They found the stone used to block the cave where Jesus' body lay was rolled back and the tomb was empty. They saw a man who told them not to be afraid, that Jesus was still with them. The woman ran and told Jesus' other followers what they had seen. Later, they believed they saw Jesus again, and he told them to carry on his message by doing what he had done in his life. The early Christians carried on his work, so he stayed alive, and he did not die with them. This is the miracle of Jesus' resurrection that is now celebrated in Christian churches on Easter Monday.
When people really believe in something, it gives them hope and courage. When we are grieving and confused, sharing our memories and doing things that show our love and care for each other can help us feel better. Love is always stronger than hate.
Hope is always stronger than despair.
And that life is always stronger than death. This is the Easter message. Amen.
Alleluia. Let us join together in a time of silence, meditation, prayer, or reflection, as is your tradition, as we contemplate these words adapted from Margie Allen. Let us rise from our couches, our gray computer screens, our lethargic minds, and give these bodies what they long for. Stumble out into the star-speckled night, the sun-glinting morning, fall into the grass, stare up into the night of our good luck and laugh. Let us rise again from our grief, from our dull dormancy, our life-stunting ruts and patterns. The brokenness we think that we're doomed to. Shed the colorless shroud of our despair. Kick away the stone. Step into the morning light this spring. Let us rise again and awaken to that power so abundant, so holy, that brings us back to life, sprouting, grounding, root and sun-seeking, slip of green, open to the sun, that breeze, that space to set real fruit, winnow real grain, touch earth, made fertile through our love. Let us rise together into this uncertain world made strange by pandemic and climate change and resist the chaos and pain made of division, hatred, and violence.
These words from Antonio McAdoo. I love Jesus, who said to us, heaven and earth will pass away. When heaven and earth have passed away, my word will still remain. What was your word, Jesus? Love, forgiveness, affection? All your words were one word. Wake up. And I thank you, God, for this most amazing day by E.E. Cummings. I thank you, God, for this most amazing day for the leaping, greenly spirit of trees, and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and of wings and of the gay, great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the noise of all nothing? Human, merely being, doubt, unimaginable, you. Now the ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened.
Our theme this month is becoming. And since it is Easter, I've been thinking about becoming alive. I've been thinking about becoming awake. These seem appropriate thoughts after months when many of us have gone inside and stayed. Parts of us hibernating or becoming dormant. Maybe pieces of us have shriveled from lack of use or despair or anger or fear. Neuroscientists tell us that stupor, grasping for that right word, slowness of thought, all symptoms that make us feel less than fully awake and alive are caused by a lack of novelty and other people. In other words, caused by COVID isolation. So isolation, experts also tell us, messes with our abilities to make memories, to keep a realistic sense of time, to stay focused on tasks, and to take pleasure from activities. All things that help us feel alive and awake. But now it is spring. We can venture outside where the virus rarely gathers enough power to infect. And now the vaccine is here, and one at a time, people in this congregation and people we love are becoming fully vaccinated. The closed in of winter and COVID are not so harsh on the world these days, it seems. Possibilities are opening. Doors are opening. We can wake up. We can become alive. That moment when a new being becomes one with the world is one of the most sacred that I know, only matched by the moment when a being leaves life. I have watched many young goats become alive. Their blue, goo-covered noses rest unbreathing, half in and half out of their mother, waiting for one more contraction. Alive, but not alive. Then their mother heaves. Her sides contract hard, and the baby slides, gushing out into my hands, wet, just a nanosec, unbreathing, then breath. As I wipe goo from their nose, I set them before their mother, who licks her sopping, shaking baby, who is so unsure and confused in this bright new world. But then, the hum of the universe catches the hum of their hearts. Shown the udder, and they grab on like they were born to this. and they were. They gulp with their whole beings, like this is ambrosia for the gods. And really, it is. Then they stop, dazed for a moment, with the fullness of their belly, the strangeness of this new reality. Then they take a step, and another, and then they get it. Wow! They kick, they run, they leap, they're alive! Chickens become alive too. They start as round, warm eggs. But then there's rapping against the egg. And then quiet, rapping. Shells are hard. Baby chicks are just a handful of puffs. How do they do this immense thing, striking their way through the hard shell? All they have is the tiniest curve of beak, fragile bones, and flyaway fluff. No muscle. The hum of the universe catches the hum of their hearts. They strike over and over and over until the shell breaks open. They come out, peeping urgently, searching for someone like them, searching for water, for food, becoming alive. What I find as awesome as chickens and goats becoming alive is tiny, pale green shoots coming up through the jagged breaks in sidewalks and concrete. They're so smooth and green and seem entirely incapable of the power to come through that broken mess. They are so tender and so courageous at once. I have stared at such plants in wonder. They truly become alive at such odds. Some pale white tendril pushed itself out of a hard seed, and then thrust itself against gravity toward a sun it had never seen, through a ground not prepared for it, ready to become more than it was, in a place no one wanted it to be. This energy of life, that becoming alive, that is our birthright. Each of us was born, covered in goo, squinting our eyes against the bright world, and felt just like those goats, the hum of our heart click with the hum of the universe as we became alive. And that energy is always ours to rediscover, to taste with each breath, to touch in the crumbling earth, to smell in the trees, to see in colorful flowers, to hear in the singing wind. At Easter, we remember this birthright. No matter how curled in we've become, how dormant, how dull, how deadened by life, by COVID-19, by fear, by anger or brokenness, we get to remember that we are alive. We get to be alive. Every person falls asleep at some point and forgets our direct relationship with life. It's a human thing. It's something we do. We get caught in the dormancy, in the spell of dormancy, or our brokenness, or our fear, or our anger. When we are born, nearly all of us are held in love for at least a moment. A newborn is such a treasure, and each of us has been such a treasure. But the world is such a broken place, and love struggles to get through some of the time. Sometimes it feels like most of the time. And some of us were born into well-prepared soil with lots of love and lots of nourishment. But at some point we discovered a broken world where love did not always shine. Others of us were born into brokenness, as rough as an old buckled sidewalk. And later sometimes found love spurting through the breaks. There are so many stories of all the ways we are broken and found love and fell asleep, or all the ways we have felt love and found brokenness and fell asleep and forgot our birthright. So many stories of how we forgot our connection with life. And this year, there are lots and lots of stories. On Easter, we get to remember that each of us have every right to come alive. I was raised in an anti-Christian household, and I'm not Christian now. But over the years of training to be a minister and being a minister, I have come to love the Easter story of Jesus. It's a story of a movement led by Jesus and his friends, of people saying, love is what matters most. Love and our connection to life. This focus on love and how we treat each other is more important, they said, Jesus said, than government or forms of religion that require adherence to strict rules. When the powers that be, threatened by the movement, as they always are, killed Jesus with the betrayal of one of his closest friends, the rest scattered, some betraying both the message and each other. Later, when Jesus' mother and the other women went to the cave to anoint his body, the stone had been rolled back, and he was not there. This shocked them, of course. Then Jesus began to appear among his followers. This was such a relief to them and such a joy that they were able to reorganize around his teachings and carry them forth where they still matter today. Love is stronger than hate. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do not despair. Most Unitarian Universalists don't believe Jesus physically rose from the dead. But the story of him doing so and its power offers some guidance to us about waking up and being alive in a broken world. When things fall apart, which they will always do in a broken world, painful things happen between people because we all mess up. We may betray our deepest values and not be the person we most want to be. The people closest to us may betray their deepest values and not be the person they most wanted to be. We may become dull, pulled back, feel anger and hate we did not know was possible. We might judge others, forget everything we've been given. We may pound our fists on the stone that guards the cave of what we've lost and everything that feels so unfair. Then sometimes, so unexpectedly, the stone is rolled back, the cave is empty, and love has risen. Forgiveness is possible for ourselves and others. We can see our way back to who we were. We can reconnect with the life within ourselves and in the world, our birthright. We can connect with the other people in our life who matter. We can wake up. We can see what we could not see before. Love shining through the broken places in the world. When we despaired and forgot and had forgotten what was possible. Hope shimmering like butterflies. Life beating like our hearts. Knowing we too can be the pale green shoots pushing up through the broken sidewalk. Becoming alive, dancing love wherever we go. Easter Exultant by John Boughton. Shake out your qualms, shake up your dreams, deepen your roots, extend your branches, trust deep water and head for the open, even if your vision shipwrecks you. Quit your addiction to sneer and complain. Open a lookout. Run with your wildfire. You are closer to glory, leaping an abyss than upholstering a rut. Not dawdling, not doubting, intrepid all the way, walk toward clarity. At every crossroad, be prepared to bump into wonder. Only love prevails. En route to disaster, insist on canticles. Lift your ineffable out of the mundane. Nothing perishes. Nothing survives. Everything transforms. Honeymoon with big joy. We extinguish our chalice, knowing the flame of Unitarian Universalism is alive in our hearts and spirits, and so shall continue to light up the world.